bless us more and give us more and everything would be going better. And then we wouldn't be feeling that way and asking that question, is God pleased with me? Why do we ask that question? As followers of Christ, we want to please the Lord Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. He died for our sin. He rose again from the dead for us. So we want to please him, and we want to give him the glory in our lives. Also, we want to be useful for the Lord. We want to be useful for him according to the purposes that he has given to us. We don't want to be failures. We want to be successful in the things that he's entrusted to us and the things that he's given to us to manage. And so we ask that question sometimes, how does God feel about me right now? Is he pleased with me right now? Let's put back up on the screen Romans chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes this, and he really nails it down for us so that it's clear in our minds. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? And so I'm just going to stop right there. What he's asking is, what did he gain before God? Did he gain God's approval because of his flesh? In the context, his flesh is the fact that he is a patriarch. He's a forefather in the faith. He's an Israelite. And did he gain anything according to his works, according to the good things that he did? Did he earn anything? It says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. That word justified means that he is declared righteous. So, in other words, if God approved of Abraham or accepted Abraham because of his works, then Abraham would have had something to boast about. But Paul is saying, not before God. So what Paul is saying to the Romans and what he is saying to you today is, if Abraham, the forefather in the faith, the guy that was the patriarch, if he didn't earn anything before God, if he didn't earn God's blessing or God being pleased with him, then why are we worried about that? And so what Paul is saying is you can't earn God's acceptance. You cannot earn God's approval of you. But rather, he continues to explain in verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Instead of focusing on what he was doing in order to be righteous before God, or to gain God's acceptance and to say, God's pleased with me. He believed in God's promise outside of him. Outside of what he was doing, he trusted in what God was saying and promising to him. And at the time, this is from Genesis 15, verse 6, God was promising Abraham that he would make a great nation out of him and that his offspring would be great and he would build that nation. And so what did Abraham have to do? Just, I believe you, God. And so that points forward to what? That points forward to the promise of Jesus Christ, who on the cross shows you and me that there's nothing at all that we can earn to gain God's approval in our lives. But on the cross, we see that it's quite the contrary. It's because we don't have God's approval. It's because of our sin that Jesus is nailed to the cross, shedding his blood for us. But the promise that we get on the cross is this. Jesus is saying from the cross, this is for your forgiveness. I'm purchasing your redemption. I'm purchasing your salvation. I am purchasing the fact that God is going to be pleased with you now because I've paid the price for your redemption. And so this is what it comes down to then, is Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. If you work, you earn something. But what Paul is saying is that God's forgiveness, God's promises are a gift. Verse 5, and to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Okay, so basically, what is the big idea? The big idea that Paul is saying is this. We don't do anything to earn our salvation. We don't do anything to become pleasing to God and to gain his acceptance. And when we think that way, whose shoulders are we putting everything on? We're putting everything on our shoulders. But rather, what Paul is saying is, don't trust in yourself in order to become pleasing to God, but rather, trust in God. And see, then God is the divine orchestrator. God is the divine giver of the good gifts. God is the one that freely gives his grace. He freely gave who? He gave his only begotten son for you on the cross to forgive you of your sin, past, present, future. And then you obtain that grace simply by faith. And so this is where we get this distinction between law and gospel. The law tells you what to do. The gospel says it's all done for you through Jesus Christ. The law does two things. It shows you your sin, and you're like, wow, I am a sinner. Or it guides you, and it instructs you and leads you in how you should live your life. But see, if you get all focused on the law in the Christian life, there's also two results that can happen. Either you get proud because you're like, I'm doing good today. I'm doing good. Things are going well in my life. I'm successful. And then as you get proud, you begin to boast, as Paul talks about, and then you can think you're better than other people that aren't doing as good as you're doing. Or if you think you're not doing very well, you despair. You just despair. And you don't feel like you're doing very well. And you feel discouraged. Is God pleased with me? That's a question that's based on the law and on the fact that perhaps you don't think you're doing very well in keeping God's law. But the gospel says, done. The gospel says, it is finished. The gospel says, I forgive you. The gospel says, I love you. You are set free. From that burden, and you can go forward now in peace in your life. And so, the question then at the beginning of the sermon was, am I pleasing to God? The answer is, Jesus is pleasing to God, and his perfect life represents you now before the Father, and you get to receive that by faith. It's all about God and what he's doing. And so, are there any other promises in Scripture other than this? Okay, you have that promise that you're saved by grace. But what are the other promises of God that he's given to you? I just want to just close with this tonight for you to just think about, to hopefully elicit your faith and what a great and awesome, powerful God that you have in your life. And so God promises these promises, and we'll put those on the screen. That those under the burden of the law will find rest in Jesus Christ. Give, and God will give to you. God gives you peace. God promises the Holy Spirit. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. God's grace and his power is sufficient for you in your weaknesses. God will give you wisdom. And then, these are for the church. The kingdom of God will grow. God grants the church growth. And we have to trust in his plan and his provision of where he's taken our church and where he's taken our school and where he's taken all of us. We just have to trust in his word in our lives. And then this is my favorite one. It says, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts, guard your minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please.